and now our political correspondent, Bruce Cowan. Bruce, are you there?
Hey, I'm here, Paul.
Hey, thanks for being here, as always. Whenever we need somebody to talk about politics, to give us some perspective, Bruce, you bring yourself on this show, and you put up with me, and you fix the problems with my viewpoints, and I really, truly appreciate it.
Well, as you said, I do have a few thoughts, and I'm always ready to share them. Hey, nice work on the pledge drive stuff. APDZ is quite a community treasure, and I'm glad to see that it's getting so much support.
Yes, after this year, right? KPTZ has felt like a binder, like a glue for our community when we couldn't see each other. We couldn't be in the same places where we were used to being. And, you know, Port Townsend, you know this well enough, being a musician. It's a place where people gather and they make music and they make community. I mean, that's part of why we love it.
Totally get that. And, how long before I can come in and we can sit in the same room and talk? Do I have to get, like, a tattoo from the governor to sit in there?
I wonder. That's actually a good idea. If, instead of vaccine cards, we could get tattoo. No, wait. This is a bad idea. This has been done before. this is not. But, yes, you can come in if you are vaccinated and 2 weeks past your vaccination, your second dose or your first dose if it's Johnson & Johnson. I can get you in the studio pretty much next time we do this. And you don't have to share. Oh, we lost Bruce. He got so excited about it. Maybe he left. He's like driving here right now, and he's just going to pop into the studio. In the meantime, if that's not the case, I'm still going to try and redial him and see if that works. Because we do need to talk to Bruce Cowan about Squim. And it went straight to voicemail. He must be on the way right now. Bruce, are you coming here right now? I'll bet you are. So while we wait for Bruce, I think we're going to just once again encourage you, if you haven't donated to KPTZ this year, we are so close. We are so close to hitting our match. And I think that it's 90% there, like $2,500, maybe a little less now, because I just saw John Gallagher. I shouldn't say last names. I just saw John, neighbor John, in here. Hopefully John's... whatever John's doing, it was a pleasure to see him. I'm not gonna. Maybe he was just coming in to stick his tongue out at me. That's fine. That's totally allowable. You know. I mean, I guess if you donate like $5, you can stick your tongue out at me. That works for me. Otherwise, here I am. Okay, we've got Bruce back on the line. We're making the sausage live here, Bruce. Hang on. So I found Bruce, and here he is. Bruce, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
We got you back. See, this is what I love about community radio, right? Because if this were like a commercial station that was funded by a Clear Channel or whatever the big money is right now, like I would be like sweating and I might get fired. But instead it's community radio where we just kind of do this to the best of our abilities. We're not trained, we're not getting paid. And we just work our way through our technical snafus. And you know, when I listen to the radio, sometimes the best part of it is the technical snafus. And I know I'm encouraged not to talk about the sausage making, aka the how things work in the studio. But occasionally I completely defy my masters and do that, because for me, when I listen to the radio sometimes, it's so fun to hear people work through those situations. And just remember that these are our community members. These are people who may not have ever done anything in radio, but they're getting a chance to, like me, I'd never done anything in radio or any kind of real technical, entertainment field like this. And, you know, this is a chance to do that. It's a chance to share a part of yourself you don't normally get to share. So, in answer to your question, when I thought that you might have hung up on me and you were just driving down to the station, because technically you could be in here right now. If you're 2 weeks out from a vaccination, we're not doing it too. We're kind of starting light, but last week I had Larry Stein of Stein Records and Ruby Fitch in the booth with me. So we're close. We're really close to that point. So yeah, next time we talk to you, Bruce, we're going to get you in the studio. And then, when I look you in the eye, I'll be able to see you rolling your eyes at whatever I've just said.
That's right. I'll be making faces.
Good, good. That's it's going to be strange, right, for me, because I've done this show for almost a year. It'll be a year in 2 weeks. And I'm just so used to it being on the phone that when it's in person, there are moments where I'm like, whoa, it felt like I was just talking in some ways, I was like talking to myself for like a year. And now when I look at people, I realize, oh, that whole time I was actually talking to other people. This weren't just the voices in my head. But yeah. So next time we'll get you in, and life is getting back to normal. Thank you for supporting Community Radio, Bruce, and everyone else who's donated. And Bruce, we don't want to talk too much about it because, you know, we don't want to get into specifics about it, but it was filing week. So I'd like to just talk a little bit about what that means for Jefferson County elections. And then we'll play a song, and then we'll talk about what's happening in Squim, if that sounds good to you.
No, that sounds good. I don't know what you mean by not getting into specifics, because it's but filing week is the week when candidates for office can go to the auditor's office online and sign up to run for office. In an off year like this, an odd numbered year, it's the school boards and the city councils and the hospital and the port district that have positions that people can file for. And there are many positions and there are many candidates. It closes today at 4:30. And we have many people have filed already, and there are always surprises, and you never know quite what happened until 4:30 comes along at the end of filing week. And then on Monday, people can drop out also.
Okay, so if people change their minds on Monday, they could say, nope, what was I thinking?
Yeah. Or, you know, phone calls get made. A lot of phone calls go on this week. So as people consider running or people recruit candidates or whatever.
Got it. Yeah.
And I could quickly run through some of what's gone on so far.
Yes, please. Briefly. Let us know.
Cool. Yeah. So we have two positions on the port commission. One, Pete Hanke is running unopposed so far for his third term on the port. And Bill Putney, who has been such a treasure to KPTZ, is leaving his position in second district, and Carol Hossie is mounting a campaign there. Nobody has filed against her. At the hospital, it's so far a kind of a snooze fest with two incumbents filing and no opponents. That's Case Kolf and Mari Dressler.
Okay.
Where it gets interesting, the school district also, I don't think there are any contests yet. I'm not going to get into fire district. There's a lot going on down there. Look at the paper. There are people running against each other in those contests. But the city council is probably of most interest to people.
Yeah.
So far, for position one, the only person, there are three open seats. That means the incumbent is not running. And for position one, Ben Thomas is the only person who has filed. He is, I believe, a native. He grew up here anyway, and he is moved back with his family, and he is a vintner at Port Townsend Vineyard, and he has no opponent so far. For position two, Aislinn Diamante has filed. She came here to work at Bayside Housing and a provider of transitional housing at the old alcohol plant, and now she's working at the fort to help the PDA get back on its feet. She, so far, has no opponent. Position five is where it starts to get interesting. Tyler Miles Vega has filed. So has Libby Erner Wenstrom. And since your show started, Sky Hardesty Thompson has filed. So three different folks here. Tyler Miles Vega has run for Congress two times, once under the Green Party banner, once under the Progressive Party banner. He's a former chair of the Progressive Party. He's also run for office in the Jefferson County Democrats. His priority is housing. He has some big ideas about the golf course. And Libby, a lot of folks know Libby. She's been here a long time, raised kids here. She was a reporter at The Leader. She's provided a lot of leadership in community organizations like the Wooden Boat Festival and so on. She is a vice chair of the Jefferson County Democrats, and she's been involved in local campaigns. Professionally, they both work in tech. He is an IT field worker for daily computing, as far as I know. That seems to be the most current. And she is not working currently, but was until recently. She's a technical writer and project manager, and works mostly online for high-tech firms in Seattle, law firms. So those two. The third one is Sky Hardesty Thompson.
Yeah.
He's a young guy who,
He's written for Port Townsend Free Press.
Yeah. Yes, he is an outspoken person, a conservative, and it's not hard to find some things that he said over the last couple of years around here. So we look forward to learning more about these three. Since there are three for this position, if they are all still in the race on at the end of the day on Monday, then there would be a primary election.
Right. I was in one of those.
Find out who the top two are. Yeah. You know what that's like.
I know what it's like to be in a primary. To have two.
So the three of them would run. And yeah. The top two, that election would take place in late July. And the election, the ballots would come out then. And there's a 3-week voting window. And then in early August, it would be done. And we would know who the top two are who would be on the ballot in November with October, November voting.
Wow.
So that's how that one's shaping up.
And which position is that?
That's position five.
And who currently holds that position?
Oh, well, I'm not even sure.
I don't even remember. I can look real fast. But what we have in Port Townsend right now, in terms of our city government, is we have three incumbents who have decided not to continue as they're not running for re-election.
Correct.
And those would be
including
Michelle Sandoval, probably the longest serving currently on the city
She's
council.
Currently mayor
mm-hmm. as well. And then Pamela Adams is mm-hmm. another one. And then we have Ariel Spesser.
Ariel Spesser. Right.
And Ariel. Obviously, everyone's got a lot on their plates, at least I know for Michelle and for Ariel, it's a lot to be on city council and have a life as well. It makes sense it does seem pretty unusual to me, at least in the 10 years that I've lived here. I'm not sure we've ever seen it quite like. I'm not sure I've seen it where there were no incumbents running for re-election.
Yeah, I'm not sure I have either for city council, yeah.
So that's, do you think that's...
It could represent a big change. We saw over the course of two elections, we did see it like a generational change at the Board of County Commissioners. And I think that we're kind of getting there on city council. We're getting toward that.
So that's position five. That's Pamela Adams' position.
Okay.
And then Ariel is number two, which that's the position that Aislinn has filed for.
Yes.
And then position one is Michelle Sandoval, and that's the one that Ben Thomas has filed for.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But these are, they're not districts, they're just positions.
Right.
And they all, we all vote on all of them in the primary and the general election.
Got it. So the position... terminologies is just, it's either archaic or something that was required as part of the establishment of the city to mm-hmm. have positions. I don't actually know the answer to that, and I don't expect you to either, but it's always been something where I'm like, I'm going to Google that, and then guess what? I don't.
different cities do it different ways, and they can.
Right. So no matter what, no matter what, every year or every 2 years, there's a mayoral. Or no, it's every year there's a mayoral election between the city councilors, where they choose who's the mayor and the deputy mayor among themselves?
Yes, that's correct. It's called a weak mayor system or a council city manager system. And there are ways to look that up and learn about that, too. And it's a very common system in cities our size.
So of all the
council, the council deals with legislation and the budget and so on, and the city manager deals with day-to-day operations.
So of all the contests we're dealing with that are going to be on the ballot, it seems to be that provided Monday goes past and nobody drops out, that position 5 will go to a primary. So we'll be talking about politics and choosing candidates a lot sooner than November this year.
Yeah, July would be the hot time for that.
Anything else we know about that's going to be on the ballot this November in terms of City of Port Townsend issues or Jeffco-wide issues?
No. And, you know, when you look at all of these unopposed candidates, they will be on the ballot, but there will just be one name. So somebody could mount some sort of a write-in campaign, but that's a real uphill battle.
Gotcha.
Unless somebody files by the end of the day.
Well, I guess if you're going to file, you know, I'm holding my tongue. All opinions are mine alone and not KPTZ's, but I thank everybody who has put their hat into the ring. I know what it's like. It is something that you do. Sometimes you have no idea what you're doing, but you often can learn by doing if you're like me. And, I know how much work it is, and I thank everybody for being willing to be of service to their city, especially at $500 a month.
Yeah, and it is quite a shock to run for office and then, you know, have signs with your name up in public and so on. It really takes a certain something to be able to do that. And it is a risk you take. The people will speak.
Well, you always taught me it's much more fun to mount a no campaign because it's very easy to get people to say no.
That's true. It's easier. But once in a while, we need people to stand up and say, you know, to go for a good thing also. And I've done both.
Yeah. Well, speaking of, actually, it's not speaking of anything, but we're at the half an hour mark, so I want to give us a little musical break, and I've asked Bruce to choose a song. Bruce, would you like to introduce this cut for our listeners?
Sure. Yeah. This is Sir Duke by Stevie Wonder, and I've always liked the song, but it turned into a bit of, because it's a tribute to some of my favorite musicians, Ella and Duke and the Count, and it got to be an earworm for me this week because there's this viral video of this astounding 8-year-old bass player named Ellen Alaverdian. She's down in Las Vegas, and she's been playing for a year, and she has just got it. And I just keep watching this video of her playing this song over and over. So then I went looking for Stevie doing it. So that's what's going on with that. It's just the joy of the song.
Well, let's get into Sir Duke by Stevie Wonder and then get back with Bruce Cowan here on Filter to talk about Squirm.
Hi to you all. I'm Phil Andrus, host of Cats and Our Laps on KPTZ. Community radio has been a valued part of my life since my high school days, a liberal arts education, and all the fine arts that one's ears can appreciate. Music, often rare and expertly curated. News with an unconventional slant to it, often slanted leftward, which suits me. Readings by playwrights and poets and novelists and by those who simply care to share their thoughts, our thoughts, with you. We're your neighbors in life and your neighbors on the air. You hear us on KPTZ. We've been here 10 years now and we're celebrating. Come celebrate with us as you listen this week and as you join your fellow listeners in tapping the Donate Now button on the kptz.org website. The cake is made, the candles are lit, and they will continue to burn to light our lives. Thanks much.
Thank you, Phil Andrus. Phil is coming up after Filter today with a special Cats in Our Laps, and I'm really looking forward to listening to Phil as I drive around town tune to KPTZ as always. We're talking to Bruce Cowan here on Filter. I've got a little bit of business though before we talk about Squirm. And that's that I want to say we're now 91% of our goal. We came from 90 to 91 just within this last hour. So that's pretty good, people. We're $2,200 left to our goal. So please, if you haven't donated, come on down. I want to thank Peter. Peter, thank you, Peter. Shelly, thank you, Shelly. Bill, thank you so much, Bill. And an anonymous drop-off, I think it may have been John. Oh, I just outed him. I just outed you, John. I'm so sorry. And then I also noticed on the web that we have my former landlord, Ja, who also helped deliver my kids. So thank you, Ja. Ja, thank you so much for donating. And it's so good to see your name pop up and to know you're out there listening and that you forgive me for being your tenant once. I'm so sorry. So this is Filter. We're talking to Bruce Cowan, who's our political correspondent in all things Jefferson County and Squim, and beyond oftentimes too, as Bruce has been here to help me understand the Capitol uprising and lots of other legislative things, and was one of the first people I ever talked to when I was thinking about running for office in Port Townsend. And talk about a man who is resourceful and also kind and willing to listen. And you say what you think, but you don't also try and bring people down when you tell people what you think. And I appreciate you, Bruce, and your ability to do that.
Well, thank you.
So
I'm glad you think so.
Yes, always have. And always will. So, Bruce, tell us what's going on in Squim. I know that you've been, I know the last time we spoke, it was a situation where it seemed like there were a lot of folks who were kind of QAnon, you know, MAGA QAnon folks who were looking at basically taking over the Squim city government or already had. And you were working with some folks to encourage people to run for office. To kind of maybe kind of get conspiracy theories out of politics.
That's close. Yes. The background is that there is a mayor of Squim who promoted QAnon on the radio on his Coffee with the Mayor segment, and people went, "Oh my goodness, who is this guy?" He ended up being the mayor, and there are also three appointed members. He is elected, but there has not been a contested election in Squim since 2015. So he was elected unopposed. That's one of the reasons it's good to have an opposed candidate in every office. He ran unopposed and didn't have to speak to people to get elected. He's become quite a lightning rod. He's brought a lot of national press to Squim. It is not especially welcome. I think he enjoys the culture war and the fact that he outrages people. He wore an outrageous T-shirt to Costco, and a picture of it was in, you know, different newspapers and outside the region even.
What did the T-shirt say?
It was, you know, we like to eat meat, we drink beer, we own guns, and if you don't like it, get the F out.
But that's like, but that's my dad. That's just my dad.
this is a guy who had the week before said that he doesn't hold with using foul language.
Mm.
So, I mean, there's a bit of hypocrisy there. So anyway, yeah. It's been kind of outrageous what they did, what they've done on the city council, the QAnon mayor and his three appointed members of his majority. There are four in the majority, a lot of 4-3 votes, is that they got rid of the very competent city manager for no good reason that they've been able to tell the public. And now they are rushing into a hiring process for the next city manager, even though 5 of the city councilors are up for election this fall, and whoever's hired would work for whoever's elected. Mm. So it seems to many people there that they ought to postpone that process, but the majority is unwilling to do that. There are 5 good candidates who have stepped up. The Squim Good Governance League stepped up they formed this, this mayor really got people to start paying attention finally to Squim City government, and they found some good people to run. So there are five contested elections in Squim.
Wow.
This is spreading also to Port Angeles.
Let's just talk perspective though, right? Because Port Townsend, one contested election. Squim, five contested elections. I mean, that's a huge difference considering we're next door neighbors, basically.
Yeah, the reason they have so many contested elections is, first of all, there's dissent. And second of all, they have so many appointees. It's just a bad luck that they ended up with so many people resigning and then appointing people so that they ended up with this appointed majority of people who've never been elected. Mm. I think that, I would, I'm on your show, every time I'm on, I'm always looking for people to step up and run and ask me what's involved, whatever. You still got a couple of hours, hour and a half.
Is filing the same in Clallam for Squim office?
Yeah, it's uniform across the state.
Got it.
And there are two people have filed for each of the five positions, so there won't be any primary there unless somebody else files. But in Port Angeles, there are three have filed for just about every position on the city council there. So the city of Port Angeles City Council will have a bunch of people. Now, what's all behind this is there are a couple of guys, Donnie Hall and Jim McIntyre, and they are Republican strategists, and they formed an organization. This was in the PDN yesterday. It's something everybody knows. They're pretty open about it. It's called the Independent Advisory Association. They pretend to be nonpartisan, but I don't think they are. Donnie is worried that the Squim is being run by the bureaucracy and what he would call the Squim Valley elite. So you kind of know where he's coming from.
Yeah.
They recruit and coach candidates. Now, that's just political activism, and really there's nothing wrong with that. But they've been getting away with something. It hasn't been answered with anything. And I think that Squim Good Governance League has stepped up and has helped recruit candidates now that would candidates who might more reflect the values of the people of Squim.
Yes. I mean, that seems to be like what's at stake here. So maybe part of the reason you're seeing more of this contest is that Squim has been riven by this controversy. I mean, it's not just the mayor and his national news making skills, but it's also the fact that there were this significant number of appointees who now need to face re-election or you know, for the first time, file and try and keep their seats. And then Squim itself, I mean, we talk every time, you know, you and Matthew Rondazzo the Fifth have been our correspondents on Squim. And every time we talk about Squim and what's happening there, we always also relate it back to Save Our Squim. And Save Our Squim, but the Jamestown Healing Clinic. Is that the proper name for it?
The Healing Clinic is under construction. It is going to happen. It was always so. They had every right to build it, and they had the funding and the property, and it was zoned correctly. There was really no way to stop it. But, they made a big deal out of it, and that was a way to galvanize some voters. And it was part of the political calculus, and I think connected with Donnie Hall and Jim McIntyre. Jody Wilkie, the Republican candidate for the legislature twice, was leading SOS. She's a Port Townsend resident, but she thought it was important to do that. That group did its thing and is still maybe a little bit alive, but it is not going to be successful. They've lost everything. You know, they've gone to court and spent a lot of money, but not gotten anywhere in their opposition.
Got it. But that's kind of, I mean, would you say that created the sort of rift we're seeing now, or was that always there, just sort of bubbling under the surface?
I think that there, Trumpism, you know, when did it start? Who knows? And it is the SQUIM, in the SQUIM, SQUIM itself votes Democratic. The voters of SQUIM, I think, will come through for good governance. But the outlying area, the rural areas around it, or in some parts, just like in some parts of the South County here, are more red, and like Quilcene and Britton are here, and they organized around this, and they were loud.
Yeah.
And being loud gets attention, and they got a lot of attention, and they got a lot of people out, and that galvanized them to action, and it made it possible for them to raise money and to, and they found some candidates. So, and these folks then got themselves appointed to the city council.
Well, Bruce, we're almost out of time here. I know we've taken up a lot of it with talking about donations, but I really thank you for being here. And next time we're going to have you in the studio, and we're going to have all sorts of great information. And maybe we could actually, maybe we'll work out, you know, some kind of candidate forum, so we give everybody equal time, and we can, you know, do something with that as well. Although you're not maybe unbiased like I am. I'm completely unbiased. So.
You'll need a moderator besides me.
I'm probably besides me too. Well, thanks again for being here, Bruce. Do you have any final shout outs? Anybody who wants to talk about running for office, how do they get in touch with you before filing time? For the hour they have.
Well, if they want to call me at 360-774-6678, I'm sitting here. So there are a couple of hours left, and we'll see what happens by 4:30 today. And I do want to thank everybody who did step up to run for office, incumbents, everybody. We need people in these positions. They're important to the day-to-day life of our community. But, so thanks for having me. I look forward to being there next time.
Yeah, me too, Bruce. And thanks as always for being here. And we'll talk to you soon.
All right.
Bye-bye.